another plug for freelancers. There are freelancers that specialize in this. You name the CRM, there's somebody that does it really, really well or something just like it. And not just the base stuff, but really, how do you build those workflows? How do you tweak this, that, or the other thing? How do you integrate it with your website or whatever? You got to do all that stuff. And that's another key thing about, A, it's important to have tools, but then pick somebody to help you optimize the tool so you get your money's worth.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you are brand new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get straight scoop on what it really takes to launch and scale a profitable, sustainable business as a coach or consultant or service provider. And today we're going to dive into what to do when you can't do it on your own anymore. And just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. So close out Canva, close out posting on your own social media feed, and let's dive into a conversation today with Elizabeth Ice, who is the founder and CEO of Results Resourcing. And today we're going to talk about how to add fractional talent to your team. So welcome to Life After Corporate, Elizabeth Ice.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. And I've had a life after corporate, so I
well, do tell. Let's start there, girlfriend. Full disclosure, Elizabeth is not only a trusted colleague, she is also a very good friend. We are both leaders of the Luminary Entrepreneurs Network. So if you are an entrepreneur looking for a connective community of like-minded sisters who are on this entrepreneurial path, join us at Luminary. And Elizabeth, what is your life after corporate story? Do tell. I don't think we've ever talked about that, or not in a long time.
Wow. Well, it's, you know, I think the work journey is a life journey. And it morphs over time as you get older and have new experiences. And I often talk about mine as being kind of like kayaking a river. You know, you just kind of, you're going with the flow, but there's eddies, there's boulders, and you're navigating around things. And, but you're, you know, you tend to track on a course that runs with your flow. And that's kind of how I would describe mine. I had the good fortune to have a long and very successful, rewarding career in corporate. But I felt at some point, you know, I tapped out. And not so much could I have done more potentially, but more what else was there? And I had this opportunity to join a startup. And 22 years ago, I went AWOL and joined a startup, and can't say I even did a good job researching the startup. I mean, I learned a lot of lessons from that too, but I did do that. And, you know, as many startups, it did not succeed for a wide variety of factors. But along the way, I fell in love with entrepreneurship, frankly. And I started to, you know, I wasn't going to go back to corporate.
I started. Oh, no. There's no going back. Once you take.
No, there really isn't. Once you have a tenth taste of that freedom and you start to realize that, yes, you can earn a living not being employed by a large corporation. You know, it's just a matter of how. And it requires some resourcefulness. And certainly I had my moments of fear, like, well, okay, how am I going to pay rent, whatever it is. But along the way, I basically was consulting for other companies, but honestly, consulting was not my path. And interestingly enough, I was hiring freelancers to help me round me out. I had really broad operational background, but maybe I didn't have industry expertise or some new tool or whatever it was. And I would find freelancers that would round me out in my projects. And I just fell in love with freelancers because really it's the way for people to follow their passion if they want to move out of corporate and do something that they love. But it's also running a business, and finding the good ones is challenging. And so I was a power user of a lot of the big platforms But what I recognized really early on was that not everyone could use them well because they didn't have my corporate background. And so my clients started to say, you know, all that dev on your team is fabulous. Can you find us a dev? And that's really how it started. And I basically was going on those platforms looking for people. And then I decided, well, I think I can do this better. And I basically, naively at the time, decided I would build Results Resourcing, you know, which is a fully automated talent platform focused on matching business owners with vetted virtual freelancers. And a lot of humbling experiences along the way, but that's really how it started. You know, that glimpse of an idea, an opportunity that what the most platforms don't offer is the ability to interact with a human. You're talking to technology, and that doesn't help people that, you know, are looking for advice and counsel about who to hire, how to hire. And that's really kind of how it all started.
I love this story so much. First of all, because of the organic nature of the evolution of your focus from consultant to owning Results Resourcing. And that was that you were connecting the dots and kind of following the breadcrumbs of clients were saying, oh, you've hired this person. That's a great person. How do I get one of those? And then the light bulb goes on. This is like how it happens, guys.
Yeah.
So you think like you're doing one thing and you're launching this business, but then along the way, through the interactions with the people that you're working with, you uncover a new need in the market. And what I love about your offering, Elizabeth, is that it's unique. You know, it's not like going on to some of the talent platforms like Fiverr or Upwork or 99 Designs for Designers and some of the others, but it really does fill that gap. So that's number two. You filled the gap in the market. There was something missing, that human connection, that you could have a talented recruiter who was vetting the resources for you and then providing you with talent.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of freelancers. So we have a team of, I think we have 6 freelancers right now. One we've just brought on board, but with the intention of being a full-time hire. And we're in a 3-month trial period. But up until then, I mean, having vetted freelancers, and all of my freelancers were referrals from other people.
Yeah.
So that is so super important too, because you can kiss a lot of frogs in this journey. So let's unfold this conversation. Number one is why hire? So let's talk about the why. Why do you want to hire freelance talent, and how can you tell you're ready?
Oh, that's a big question. So honestly, you are always ready. And I'll start there, because every business, this has become my favorite saying, every business has a back room. And that's exactly the work you should not be doing. You got inspired to help women achieve a life after corporate. You should be not doing the back end of your business. You should be inspiring women and helping them do what you think they can do. Okay. And that's true of every business, whether you're a graphic designer, a writer, software programmer, I mean, whatever it is, it's like that's your calling. And that's really where you should be spending the bulk of your time. And anything else is just detracting from that. It's draining. It's not what you love. And honestly, there is someone that will do it better because it's what they love. And that's really the key, is finding those people you can work with that love what they do, and collectively, just like the team you've put together, each probably has a specialty. And collectively, you add this tremendous value together, but people are being leveraged for what they do best. And I think that's really the key. And so depending on where you find your freelancers, you can afford it, because basically for a couple of hours a week, you know, for let's just $100 a week, what could you outsource to somebody for $100 a week that would free you up and give you energy to do other things, even if it's just spend time with your family? So, I mean, I think it's finding the right model, but you're ready to hire a freelancer, a virtual assistant in particular, almost right away.
Yes.
Because that person can add value and help you do things well that free you up to run your business.
Yeah, because otherwise you become the bottleneck to growth, because you're trying to ramp up, you're trying to learn new things outside of your zone of genius. You're trying things, some things work, some things don't, if you hire an expert, then you speed your ramp up time and for less value than investing your own time. So let's talk about, I've heard you several times do a talk about where you talk about the value of time. So share this. I think this is, and folks, you're going to want to have a pen and paper or come back to listen to this again to get the formula that Elizabeth is going to share with you on how to calculate the value of your time.
Yeah, no, let me talk about that. And in fact, I can ultimately send you the link so people could even just take our survey.
Oh, perfect.
So, you know, that way people will really be able to use the tool multiple times and it's free to use. And I built it really to answer the question that you started with, can I afford to hire a freelancer? And most people didn't think they could. Like, you're conserving dollars in the beginning when you're trying to launch a business and be successful, and you don't want to give any dollars away, even though, you know, there's advantages to doing that. So basically the value of time calculator basically asks the first question, what is an hour of your time worth? And the short answer is no one ever says $10. I mean, of all the people that have ever taken our survey, the average is $166. And so it starts with that. And then the next really key question is so what's your value proposition? What value do you deliver to your clients and the market? Because that's, you got to zero in on that core thing that only you can do. And so people will say whatever it is. And I don't really need to know that other than it frames the thought process. And then the question is, well, how many hours a week do you work? And they put a number in. And then it's kind of like, well, how many hours a week do you work on that core business, on that core business idea? So you start to zero in on, A, the value of somebody's time, which average 166, and then how many hours of, I mean, most, it's frankly 60 to 70 hours is the average. And honestly, only 43% of those hours are spent on the core business valuation, business proposition. So then it starts to, through a survey process, that you just answer questions like, well, roughly how many hours do you spend writing content, posting social media, doing invoices, client follow-up or whatever, you know, main buckets, including recruiting. That is another one that's, you know, other people can do better for you. And you kind of get an idea of how much time, you know, you're spending in other areas. And then you multiply it against the same hourly rate, $166. Doesn't matter whether you're invoicing or delivering value. It's costing the same because you only have X number of hours in a day. And so then you really do the math. And the survey helps you do that. It says all these hours you're spending on the non-core stuff, the backroom stuff, that's prime stuff for outsourcing to freelancers. And it will be less expensive than $166. And that's your opportunity cost, really. Even if you can convert a few of those hours, it's a step in the right direction. Right. And you start to build habits around delegating and focusing more and more of your time on delivering value and spending time with clients that bring you more value, more clients.
100%. And especially when you first get started, like 80% of your activities should be focused on revenue generating activities. So, I mean, the first thing to hire out is like bookkeeping and a virtual assistant, you know, a virtual assistant to help you with, or a bookkeeper to help you with the billing, to help you with back office operations, you know, managing your email list, onboarding clients, maintaining the tech stack behind your business, because everyone needs technology.
Yeah.
You can't run and grow a business on an Excel spreadsheet. So that's why you need to hire capable talent who are experienced with the tools of the trade so that they can help you grow faster. And it is for such a relatively small amount of money. If you can focus your activities on elevating your brand, becoming known in your marketplace, you know, becoming known in your circles of influence, networking, and all of those activities, speaking that get you visibility, then that's what's really important.
Very well said. Totally agree.
Yeah. So let's talk about how you decide whether something is core to your role as CEO or non-core for you to outsource. Like, how do you go through that decision process now that you've made the decision of, okay, there's value here for me to outsource someone? What should I be outsourcing?
Well, you know, kind of the line of demarcation for me is, will your client pay for it? I mean, if it goes directly to delivering value, then that's probably a core activity. So for you, Deb, probably social media posting is not a core activity because that's no client's going to pay you to do that. But for someone that runs a social media agency, that is a core activity. So it's really always framing it in terms of what value do you deliver to clients. And anything that your client, frankly, won't pay you for is non-core. And that's stuff that, you know, not that, you know, you should just, boom, outsource everything tomorrow. But, I mean, that's the list you should whittle away from.
Definitely.
And that to me is the easiest way to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, one of the things that my clients do is like create post-it notes, you know, look at your to-do list and create a post-it note for everything on your to-do and then post them on the wall and then start grouping them together, you know, like tasks together, and then you'll get some clarity. So my question for you, Elizabeth, is, all right, so now I have all of these tasks that might not fit cleanly into one role like social media manager. So what if I'm looking for a multi-talented individual? Is it best to go for discrete experts that have more depth, or can you hire someone who is a unicorn and who has capability to do multiple things?
Well, a really good virtual assistant or executive assistant, which is really just a higher level virtual assistant, can do a lot of things. And so basically, I think that's just a really, really great way to start, because they're going to have capabilities in so many areas, from technology, to data management, to, you know, some core writing skills. I mean, the email management, calendaring, you know, they'll have perspective from helping other clients on tools to use. They'll really be able to address a broad range of needs. And, you know, there are VAs that are more marketing oriented versus more administrative oriented. And it's really the flavor. And again, they're doing the same thing. What are they best at? Some are better at, you know, the HR admin type stuff, and others love the marketing and business development stuff. So it's finding the right one. And I will say, however well-intentioned your friend is saying, hey, here's a VA you should consider, they don't know your business and they don't know how skilled that VA is. So, well, that's a run to trust. You trust your friend, but that doesn't necessarily mean your friend's recommendation is the right one. And it's not necessarily going to save you time by hiring your friend's recommendation, because it may not be the right fit. So it is more of a process to really find the right fit. I will say that I've kind of made a shift in my business because of this exact same question. Initially, I would focus solely on individual freelancers, and those were the matches that I would make to the business owners. But I found that, especially when a business owner is young in a business, that they don't always know in advance all the things they're going to need. They have some immediate needs, that things are on fire, they need to have handled. And hiring a freelancer that can address those needs may not be the long-term freelancer. And then you're back to hiring another person. And that's frustrating to business owners. So I've tended to gravitate to making matches to VA companies.
Oh, interesting.
We have a whole set of preferred VA providers at different levels. And they each have teams, just like the team you have. I mean, one has 12 people. And on that 12-person team, some are contractors, some are employees. There are people that are certified bookkeepers, you know, in QuickBooks or whatever, because, you know, you're handing over your books to somebody, you better hand it over to somebody that knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Somebody that writes blogs, someone that does graphic design or Excel spreadsheet or ChatGPT. I mean, there's so many skills. And rather than trying to find the unicorn, which you're not going to find the unicorn because they're unicorns. Or they're certainly not going to be affordable, you know, for sure. So if you hire a team, then they can provide a much broader range of duties and they can grow with you. And if you suddenly need, you start with, say, 2 hours a week, suddenly you need 10 hours a week, they can expand with you. Because if you're talking about an individual freelancer, there's a limit to what they can do skill-wise, and there's a limit to how many hours they can work. And if they have more than one, say, 5, 6, 7 clients, then that's automatically going to put a damper on how much time they're going to have to expand as a business owner's needs are. So for all those reasons, I've gravitated, frankly, to matching people with VA teams that I trust and can count on, that can frankly be up and running for somebody in 24 to 48 hours.
That's great. That's a great, great twist to it, because you do want a team that can grow with you as you grow. And that's important. So you and I frequently do a talk, and I cover product and pricing and, you know, the promotional aspect of growing a business. And you talk about process, tools, and people. And so would love to talk about your philosophy of scaling. And, you know, when we're talking about scaling, we're talking about scaling to seven figures. You know, when you're in the early stages, so let's get clear on the terminology. You know, when you're zero to 500K, say, you're in the growth phase of your business. You're putting in your initial systems and processes. And what you do at this phase is vitally important to your ability to scale later, right? Yeah. So you cannot build a house on a shaky foundation, right? Just the architecture won't work. And the same is true of your business. You need that solid, solid foundation in order to scale. So let's talk about what processes they need in place, what they need to consider for tools, and as well as how you integrate the people piece of it as well.
Great. Well, it is one of my favorite subjects. And you know,
I know you, Elizabeth. I know what your favorite subjects are.
I know. And it just, it seems so geeky and so boring, but I do think it's process, tools, and people. And it starts with process, because if you can't identify how you deliver value, then you don't have a core component to your business proposition. And you can't delegate. I mean, and frankly, you probably can't explain your message very well to your client, because you aren't thinking about what's unique and the system that you apply, the method you apply, you know, that's repeatable, so there's consistency. So I think there's a lot to building process. And as I say in a lot of the talks, it's a business asset. If you don't have things documented, then you're missing an opportunity to build a business asset that can be capitalized as you go forward. Because as you get bigger, you need to have process. Otherwise, things is herky-jerky and you're just not going to get the quality. So I think process is really important. And the thing is a lot of people say, well, I'm not process-oriented. No problem. There are VAs that are. And literally, I have had VAs that work with clients to simply interview them. Tell me how you do this. And they write it down for you. And then they produce process. And it's, you know, for a couple hours, you got process. You don't have to do all your processes at the same time. Do a few at a time. The ones that are most important, ones that involve clients, you do those first. So, you know, that's really key. And that can be leveraged in marketing material, all kinds of different things, partnerships. So I think process is really huge. The next thing is tools, because tools automate things. Tools get work done for a flat fixed cost. You invest in a tool and then you've got it forever. It does workflow, it sends emails, whatever it might be, scheduling. Those are all great tools. But I find that a lot of people pick a tool before they build their processes, because it seems like it's easy. Like, oh, if I just get this tool, it'll do it for me. And I guess if you want to do your process the way HubSpot or some other tool does theirs, no problem. But, you know, that may not be what makes you unique and allows you to deliver unique value to clients. So I recommend process first, then tools, because then you pick the tools that suit your process. And you don't waste money on tools that don't ultimately work for you. And then I think there's another component of that, which is optimizing the tools you pick. Because I think a lot of people, I see this all the time, they've bought some sort of a system. It's DIY jobs a lot of times. They set it up to the minimum necessary to do whatever response to a pain point they have. But these systems can do so much. Yeah. If you really get to know them and work with them and set them up properly, optimize them. And again, another plug for freelancers. There are freelancers that specialize in this. You name the CRM, there's somebody that does it really, really well, or something just like it. And not just the base stuff, but really, how do you build those workflows? How do you tweak this, that, or the other thing? How do you integrate it with your website or whatever? You know how to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's another key thing about, A, it's important to have tools, but then pick somebody to help you optimize the tool so you get your money's worth.
Absolutely. And new tools are coming onto the market all the time. And there are some really fabulous all-in-one tools. And so I know we don't usually tool drop here, but Funnel Breezy, which is based on High Level, which gohighlevel.com is one of the most comprehensive and current that a lot of solopreneurs are gravitating to right now. It's got course capabilities, integrates your website. And if you want, we'll drop our link to Funnel Breezy in the show notes as well. But just tracking your leads. I mean, this is one of the number one things that solopreneurs don't do. And you've got a leaky lead bucket. You're leaving money on the table because you don't have a process for moving these people through your pipeline or through your funnel. So many things. I mean, we're now documenting. There's nothing like bringing on someone to your team to force you to document how you do things.
Yep.
And so I love this idea of hiring a freelancer to do all that documentation, not just writing it out. I mean, sometimes they can do Loom videos too, especially when it comes to like using the tools, leveraging the tools in your portfolio.
Yep.
So that's great. So process, then tools.
And then the final thing is people. And I know I've mentioned, you know, people to help with these different stages, but again, the default mechanism is, oh, I'm going to hire somebody to do that. And they haven't really thought about the value of process, the value of tools, which all are, you know, build your business value. I mean, build an email list or whatever it is. Those are all things that are business assets. And I think that the more you expect a person to be your answer, the more trouble you're going to have. So if you've built your process, you've got your tools, it will help you make the right decision about the people you hire, a broad virtual assistant or something like that, you know, to help you execute. And frankly, having process and having tools makes it less expensive. Because the most expensive talent is human talent. Mm-hmm. So use the human talent where the brain power matters, not in doing the stuff that building a process so things are consistent, or buying a tool that, you know, automates things or houses your data. You know, that's why people's last. It's first in a sense, but it's like use people for what they're great at. You know, don't spend a lot of money things that tools or process could do. And I think that's where some people go wrong when they think, oh, I can't afford it. It's because they don't have these other things. And so it goes back to, you can afford a freelancer to help you build your process. That may not be the freelancer you want to work with long term. Same with the tools, but it could be. And, you know, especially if you work with a team, they may have all of those skills that you need. So that's why I'm so adamant about that order. And it flows.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're dealing, you mentioned something in passing, but I want to pick it up, is that when you have freelance talent, you can swap out your talent as your needs change. It's much harder and much more expensive when you have a full-time employee on your payroll. So there's a lot more heartache. There's also, you know, you're paying for taxes and other benefits when you have someone who's on the payroll. But super important to get your processes together, hire the right people.
Yeah.
So now that we have our process, our tools, we're ready to hire people, I come to you and I say, Elizabeth, I need a social media marketing leader for my team. What is that process like once we have that conversation? How do we work together?
Well, us specifically, you know, we always start with a conversation, you know, and, you know, I don't need you to have a job description built or anything like that. You know, I want to just listen to what it is that you need.
Wait, I don't need to build out a job description.
No.
Wow.
No, you don't. No, I mean, it's like job descriptions tend to be great for the corporate world. And I think that especially with, you know, your group, they're coming from the corporate world. That's what they're used to. But I mean, some of the best freelancers do not want to be reading some 5-page job description with, you know, I mean, they're great tools of communication, but, you know, freelancers work fast, you know, and honestly, most freelancers, they are like life after corporate. They don't want to be in corporate anyway. They're not looking to be your employee, not you specifically. It's not a try to buy kind of thing. They have their own businesses. Then they're doing exactly the same things that we're talking about. Who's their core value? Who's their core client? And so, no, I don't require a job description. Is it helpful? Do I like getting it when it's done? Absolutely. You know, really, I'm trying to listen for what people need, because a written document is static.
Mm-hmm.
And it tends to be about a very specific job, as opposed to like, what's the broader thing that's trying to be accomplished here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, actually, I love yours. You do a great job. You really describe, you know, you know, your mission, who you are, and the kind of team you're building. But most people don't do that. You know, looks like a ChatGPT, you know, job description, and it's not tailored. It's not that useful.
So what do you do differently in your recruiting process? So give us a peek inside the machine.
So it starts with this machine. And in the human conversation, and it's an interview. It's a conversation about what you're trying to do with your business, and then what I specifically do is I've built an A to Z automated process for finding and vetting freelancers. So the first thing I do is I complete what we call an inquiry. It's a form in our system, and it basically is fairly informal. It's like what's your name? I tend to kind of, what kind of a freelancer is this person looking for? Is a spot where I can put someone's LinkedIn profile link, the link to a website. And I basically record, not I don't actually record, I write down notes, I dump notes, you know, into this form.
Okay.
And then there's a section that asks me to list skills. And this comes from data, it relates to my relational database. So it's like Salesforce.com or, you know, whatever it is, it could be coaching, it could be bookkeeping, it could be work style. You know, I'm a positive, you know, resourceful kind of person. These are all characteristics that I feed into the database. So basically I feed that inquiry form into the database and it surfaces candidates that would be a great fit for the job. And these days it's primarily for the people that I have vetted for my on-demand programs. So these teams, I also have tons of people that are just individuals, but more people are really looking for the team. So I'm looking for the team that's going to be a good match.
Wow.
And then I basically push a button and it goes out to the teams. And they look at the informal job spec and I find out from them whether it's a yes, no, or maybe with comment. I'm interested, not interested, or maybe interested. But it's requiring them to respond to skills that are very important to the client.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the job or CRM for a construction client. Yes, there's tons of CRMs, but do you know how to use Jobber? Because that's what the client uses.
Mm-hmm. So do you vet the freelancers then before you present them to the client?
You, yeah.
Oh, wow.
By the time I'm providing a team, I've already pre-qualified that team as being able to fulfill the majority of the work. And sometimes they want to interview the person. Sometimes they say, no, just set it up and go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they're interviewing that team member is the onboarding meeting.
Mm-hmm. So you're like a freelance recruiter in many ways, you know,
totally
providing this talent for, you know, a lot less than you would pay any other recruiter.
Oh, for sure. It's a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, fraction. So you mentioned the value of time calculator. So we want to put that in the show notes.
You can just go to our website because in the tab Insights, it has free resources and you can go there. And our website is resultsresourcing.net.
Resultsresourcing.net
is
the website. Go to the tab that says Insights and then you can download the value of time calculator.
Yeah.
And what if someone was listening to this and they know what they need to outsource? How do they get in touch with you? Just go to the website.
Yep. There's a button for a free consult. Push the button and it'll set up a meeting with me and we start there.
Elizabeth, I'm so glad you came on the show because we don't talk about this enough. I always talk about strategies, tactics, what to do. We rarely talk about who should be doing this on your team. And I think this was such a valuable conversation, knowing what to outsource, how to find the right freelancer, and how do you prepare for bringing a freelancer on board? Because if you have your processes and tools in place already, then it just accelerates the ability for your freelancer to be productive that much sooner. And you're starting to get a return on that investment. So
yeah,
thank you so much, Elizabeth. It's been so much fun having you on Life After Corporate.
Well, this has been great. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it, Deb, as always.
All right. Well, that's it for now, my friends. Start taking notes of everything that's on your to-do list. And is it core or not core? And if it's not core, consider tapping into results resourcing and finding a freelancer who can do that. Because we guarantee there's a freelancer out there who can do that. So thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
And that's it for now, my friends. We will see you next time on Life After Corporate.
thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.